listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin, and happy belated Valentine's Day to those of you out there who might have been celebrating all of the love in your life and the many ways it shows up or doesn't in your life. So regardless, we're happy to have you here today on this particular Monday. This is probably one of my favorite show formats that you can imagine. Way back when the show first began in its inception in April of 2016, yes, that's right, we have been going live for about, 5 years now almost, we started to do this process called Mock Interview Monday. On the last Monday of every month, we would have a job seeker join us, and myself and Allison Garrido at the time, or another job search expert, and today it'll be, of course, my co-host Brandon, would offer live feedback to somebody as we go through a mock interview. So before we introduce you to our guest who's going to be doing this mock interview with us, I wanted to let you know a little bit about how today is going to go so you can be here to play with us and to actively participate yourself from home or wherever you might be listening from. Today, our guest, Jean, who is an amazing dear friend of mine and has courageously volunteered to be our mock interview guest today, is going to be asked questions by myself or Brandon. And after she's asked a question, immediately right after that, rather than having you listen for the whole duration of the mock interview, we're going to offer feedback to Jean at that moment. So before we dive into this, of course, I do want to thank our sponsors who make today's show possible, the people at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including temporary services, executive placement, and even payrolling functions. And I forgot to mention this. We have super exciting news thanks to our incredible team here at LA Talk Radio. We are now also available, as well as on iTunes, we are available on iHeartRadio and Amazon Music. So please feel free to check us out wherever you might find us. We always invite you to stream live with us on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page as well. And I often, from my own page, will share the show as it's happening so that way you can go ahead and interact with me. And if you have any questions during the show or thoughts you'd like to add, we certainly look forward to hearing from you. So without further ado, thanks so much for being here, Brandon. And Jean, I know we'll introduce you here in a moment.
Yeah, let's, why don't we, there she is. Hey, Jean.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Jean. So Brandon, I don't know if you want to maybe kick today off and maybe ask the first question or so, and then we can begin and just play around as we go live with this mock interview.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess we'll just go live. And do you want to run it? I guess we'll run it as if this were a real live.
Yeah, we'll just play it like it's a real interview. We're just going to have fun and be in the moment. And there is no right or wrong way to do this. So this is just meant to be valuable for everybody out there tuning in, for Jean. And just put yourself in Jean's shoes and imagine that Jean is you and by proxy.
You know, I did a training this year for a great women's employee resource group that I do a lot of work with. And one of the questions they said they get asked at every event is, how are you and what are you working on? And obviously with Jean, because she's in the search, I'm not going to ask her what she's working on. But I like that question because I think we do get asked that a lot. How are you doing? And you want to, it seems innocuous. It seems like nothing. But it's actually a good question. So Jean, let's assume that you've just walked into the office. You've sat down, me and Jennifer on the other side of the table. And we say, how are you, Jean?
I'm doing great. It's a breezy, cool day here in Los Angeles. How often do you get beautiful days like this? Bright sunshine, cool weather. It's absolutely fabulous. I'm so glad to be here today.
Cool. Okay. So since we're going to do this question by question, actually, it would be really fun, Jean, if you're willing to play this game with us. Something I'd love to do when I used to be in recruiting is I used to ask people after the interview, like when we would be mock prepping for an interview, how would you rate yourself on that answer? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know what, guys, I knocked it out of the ballpark. That one was just like next level epic. It was a 10. Or, you know, 1. Okay, there was a little bit of room for improvement. Here's what I might have done better. So perhaps before we give you feedback, Jean, like what would you say about how you would rate that answer you just gave? Three. Okay, three. Good. Solid three. So tell us, Gene, what was missing, do you think, that would have made that answer perhaps a five or a seven?
A little bit of authenticity. I seemed to be on. I didn't seem to be genuine. I didn't seem to be honest. I listened to my voice and I thought, what are you hiding? but what I know me. You spend all my time with me. So I don't know if that translated as badly as I thought it did.
I mean, I don't think it translated badly. I think it was innocuous and it had nothing to do with you, right? It was the, how's the weather? I mean, it's almost, we're going to be a little rough with you because we care about you. So, sure. You know, it was generic is a good word for it, right? It
could have been anyone. Pedestrian, very pedestrian.
Right. It's sort of, what are we talking about? Weather and traffic, right here in LA. Weather and traffic, that's it. So one thing that I might suggest, and I think this is where it can be anything. You know, one of the things about the unique times we're living in, you know, you could even say something as well as anyone can be doing these days, you know, is even something more personable. You know, you're kind of taking, you're showing some empathy or compassion. Now, still, that's the innocuous. I still think that's a very general response, but at least it gives a little bit of sense of like what, that you're aware of the current realities of, you know, the environment and that we're still in the midst of COVID. Jennifer, what do you think is a way?
Yeah. So first, Gene, I just want to acknowledge you for your self-awareness. Gene is one of the most self-aware human beings I've ever met in my life, and brilliant, and also incredibly critical and hard on herself. So I'm going to bump you up to like a four or five at least, Gene. So we're going to bump that three up. To go back to the answer itself. So I would say to your point, Brandon, yes, and that's one of my favorite games I ever learned. It's an improv game, is yes, and. So yes. And one of my favorite things to do from the moment that you open your, set foot on your, the eyes of the person in the interview, whether it's via a Zoom interview, whether it's in person, is to proactively interview. You are going to hear me say this ad nauseum. The moment that somebody says, how are you? Tell me about yourself. What should I know about you? Walk me through your resume. It could be any question under the sun. That is your opportunity to share with them why they should want to hire you. The way I've always personally viewed that opening question is they are literally saying in some odd form, whatever words come out of their mouth are some way to get you to tell them why they should want to hire you. So perhaps, Gene, in your case, if somebody says, hey, how are you? You know, I might just be at, like Brandon said, tie in some authenticity about how you're really feeling. Because I feel like EQ and empathy and compassion is very highly emphasized. And given your background as a leader in a high profile roles, you know, I think it would really resonate with them. So perhaps you could try something like, gosh, guys, you know, it's been really an opportunity for my growth over this last year. So I had a position in finance that I loved. I'm grateful that I've gotten to spend a career in an industry that I really enjoy, you know, working in law firms and getting to integrate the financial side with the business savvy and the strategy. And in my last job, that kind of came together and synthesized, and none of us could have anticipated how things were going to go in 2020. So what I did is I actually took that as an opportunity to pause. I paused in 2020 to begin the pivot. You know, you often hear of this idea of the pivot, and because so many things changed and industry changed, and even the industry I've been in for the last 20 plus years, legal changed, I've been using this time for self-development and growth. I've been setting up on new programs, learning new business strategies. And now I feel like I'm really ready and in a place to synthesize all of this knowledge and to utilize it wherever I go next. So I know that might be a little long-winded about how I am, but if you wanted my real answer, that's how I am.
That is the real.
That's me.
I don't know. I love you, Jennifer. I somewhere in between is probably the truth. I love Jay Hill more than life itself. Don't get me wrong, but like,
thanks, Brandon.
You're so smart. I love you. You're so smart. I can hear your brain working. I think there's something in between there. You know, one offering I would give is, And I think it's the recruiter in me, right? I think we've all been sort of in this part where like person's going on. But I do think Jennifer was onto something of where you were getting ahead of the answers, which I thought was really smart, Jennifer. You're giving your story. And the last thing you can do is it's kind of like, you know, you might actually say something last thing around, how are you? I'm actually excited to be here. I've done some research on the firm. I've talked to a few people, and I'm actually, today's a good day because I'm, you know, I'm excited to do this. So anyway, sorry, Jennifer, just like teasing you.
I just love that Brandon is laughing so hard. He can barely get the answer. And so is Jean, because you both know me so well. By the way, you can look at me as a living example of what not to do in an interview.
You're too smart. I know when someone says, as I said, you're so smart, I can hear your brain working. But it's that in between. That's all. This is our banter.
It was back to your other episode where you said make it easier on the interviewer. Don't have them do all the work.
Correct. I mean, I think it's back to that. My favorite thing, again, I ever heard from an interview, right? Which is, oh, this was the quickest hour I'm going to have all week. You want the interviewer not to be looking at their watch. You want them to go, how is it possible that the hour passed? And so it's that back and forth dialogue. So, all right, Jennifer, you've done thousands of these. What's the next question that people get asked?
You know, I think that it's this is where people start to probe. One of the things that many of my mentors and experts that I've met in the human resources and recruitment fields have always said is that people want to hire you until you open your mouth. And so then they... It's terrible. It's true, though. They do. They have a pain point. They have a job to fill. You have a great background. I want to get this off my desk and move on. So you have the job until you open your mouth and speak. So the next thing they want to do is they want to pick apart your resume. And they're doing this because they want to see, oh, is it as good as it looks on paper? And so we're going to go with this next question. So, Jean, you know, assuming you haven't just given the answer that I gave for the last question, Jean, you know, we're a little bit concerned. You know, you moved around a little bit. You have exceptional stability for over 10 or 15 years. We love that you went to Yale. All of these things really impress us, but we notice you've moved around and we're not quite sure what you want to be doing. You've had several titles in the last 5 or 6 years. Can you talk to us about why you've moved around and, you know, what these title changes have meant and what you want to be doing?
Well, the first title, the first job that started this little bit of movement that I had was a new position for the firm. And it wasn't completely codified when I arrived. And when I did arrive, there was a long-term administrator who had been in place, did a fantastic job. And now it was time to do some of those hard things that she never had time for. And so when I was brought on board, there was extra people to work on these projects. These projects included moving the computers to the cloud, upgrading the telephone system, doing a suite refresh, and doing an accounting system software change. And we did that all in within 18 months. And during that time, it was a very tense and very tight schedule. And what I learned about myself is that my tolerance for change is a little bit higher than some other people, especially in the legal industry. And after we started getting that, it was like, okay, now we can refine this and we can start tackling these other projects. And I heard, whoa, 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 whoa. we are just sort of change fatigued at this moment. And I thought, well, these are the things that I would like to work on. And that wasn't what the firm wanted to work on. And so this other job came with a colleague and it came up, and their point was that they wanted to train their partners leadership. They wanted to train them what it was going to be like because they had a partner who was looking at succession planning, very smart. And I thought, this is really wonderful, because one of the jobs that I absolutely adored changed drastically when there was a merger. That was their succession. That was their succession strategy. And I thought, this is a really wonderful way for me to actually do that in this new firm. So I left that other job as an executive director, and I went to another firm as a financial director with the understanding that I would be part of the management team in order to train the new partners, look at things differently, try to maximize profits. What we didn't know is that we expanded a little bit too rapidly. certain market conditions didn't happen. There were certain personnel changes that occurred that could not have been foreseen. And then COVID hit. So at that point, I found myself being laid off and then deciding that this was as good a time as any to take a breath, do some training, do some classes, and actually think and decide what I want my next job to look like.
Beautiful. Thank you, Gina. So eloquent. That was really, really well said. And to go back to the way that we said we'll explore this, you know, again, scale of 1 to 10. For those of you just joining us, we have Jean here who's an active job seeker, and we're going through a mock interview. So as we ask the question, we're going to ask Jean to evaluate herself and then offer live feedback as we move through this mock interview. So Jean, you know, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, yeah, guys, I nailed it. That was epic. Best interview answer ever, to 1. Okay, there was a little bit of room for improvement there. How would you rate yourself on that answer you just gave?
Maybe a 4, maybe a 5.
Okay. What, if anything, was missing, do you think, that would have enhanced that answer to perhaps a 6 or a 7?
Wasn't as fluid as I like. I am a stutterer. And so as a kid, when I get pressed, it comes out. And what I do is I halt and I stop rather than stammer. And so sometimes things are not as fluid as I would like if I haven't practiced it. And so what that tells me is that I really need to practice that so that the words come quickly and doesn't look like I'm searching for an answer.
That's interesting. I would have given it a 7 or 8, Gene, because I could tell that you have worked on it. And that makes sense to me that you have, because it was a really thoughtful answer. I have one of the best presidents of a multi-billion-dollar organization that I know. Was talking the other day, we were having a conversation about, I was talking about bullying, but it came up with the idea of the stutter. And that one of the things he said that was unique about him is growing up with stutter, the superpower that stutterers have is that they think about everything they say. What a unique thing. What a better world we live in if everyone thought about it. I understand where it can be, it can feel like a burden, but I'm telling you, I thought it was a 7 or 8. And part of that was there was a lot of, in there, you almost did like the what's my weakness kind of you got to. It was like, well, I wanted to move too fast. You know, I just want to make change and do things, you know. So I liked it. I thought you did a beautiful job. I could tell what you're saying. I think that the only thing that was probably missing was the engagement with the listener, which comes from maybe now that I know that that's your background. So thank you for sharing that. But otherwise, I thought it was actually pretty solid, really thoughtful, poignant, and I could tell you worked at it. And I, at least as an interviewer, appreciate that.
Yeah, it was really powerful, Gene. And if I may go a step further and be so bold as to suggest this, you know, I have a friend of mine here who's a famous thought leader in Portugal, and she's a famous thought leader around the world. And she said to me something really brilliant. One day we were having lunch here in Portugal, and she said, you know, being a thought leader, one of the things you have to keep in mind is people are always looking to knock you off the pedestal. And this is equally as true when you're in an interview. So she said, as a thought leader, what you want to do is you always want to be the one to knock yourself off the pedestal before they have the opportunity to do it. So along those lines, whatever your weakness could potentially be, like great example, you know, Brandon and I have both done a lot of professional speaking. And years ago when I started speaking, and I'm sure Jeannie may have even seen me in those days, I talked very quickly. I've really scaled it back a lot. One of the things I would do when I would give a speech is I would make a joke about it. I'd say, okay, hi, Jennifer Cahill. I'm going to be talking to you today. There's a couple things you need to know about me. 1 is that I speak very quickly, and 2, I can't help myself. So if I go over something, you know, and just make it fun and playful. So perhaps there's a way to integrate Jean and say, even as an opportunity for growth, and say, you know, it's such a pleasure to be here, guys. I have to tell you, you know, when you put me in a room with leadership and partners, I tend to thrive. However, sometimes I notice when I'm in an interview setting, I can go back to my default of stuttering. So I want you to know that it's something I am aware of. And what I do to counter that, to be sure I'm even more thoughtful, is I take long pauses. And so please feel free to give me feedback, because I certainly, if we're going to be able to have the pleasure of working together, would love to know what works for you. Some people might rather have me stutter and just say what's on my mind. And other people might feel more comfortable with the pause, which is what I've learned to enhance my speaking ability. So please feel free to give me comments and feedback as we go along.
I think that's beautiful. I did that a lot to Jennifer. You know, I did a lot of my interviewing, but I also did that when I would stand in front of audiences, especially when I was at Advancing Women Executives, and I'd be in a room and it would be 200 brilliant women and then this dude, right? And I would go, you have to address it. Otherwise, you know, and I would say things like, if I mansplain anything, smack me, right? Because it's my acknowledgement that I get that this is a weird package for a feminist, or at least, you know, who does this work. And I'm much like you. That's the other one was speaking fast. So fun for our podcast, I guess. Don't listen to it at double speed. I've tried. 1.5 is as fast as anyone should listen to this thing on. Jean, I love that advice for you. Now, I talked to a brilliant friend of mine, a woman named Michelle, one of the best financial insurance leaders in the world, just a brilliant, incredible human. And we were talking about the show, and she said the best thing she had heard, and I forgot that this was on her show, so I love this. I'm going to say it to you, because I think so far we did a talk before the show, and it was so prevalent in every conversation. And I think it's been missing in your answers, and this is a weird way to do this, so it's not on you, but someone on our show said, treat interviewing as if authenticity is in the job description, because it is. And if they don't like the stutter, or they don't like that Jen speaks fast, or if they can't handle, obviously, whatever it is, you might as well address it it's like dating, right? If someone can't handle something, it's not like they're going to get to the end of the date and be able to handle it, or the end of the job. So I think that, so let's see if we can, in the next question, if you can treat this as if authenticity is on the job description. I love it. It's one of my favorite tips that someone pulled out of one of our shows, Jen.
Yeah, I totally agree, Brandon. And as always, I'm monitoring, by the way, as a quick aside, our Facebook feed here. And we had a great question. You know, we want this to be equally valuable for all of you tuning in. And that's why it's a lot of fun when we have you listen in on Facebook Live, because we can address your live questions. So a question that got brought up, and I'm sure it's happened to all of us, is from Michelle Marr, who says, what do you do if your mind goes blank in an interview, and how can you overcome this? Great question. Would love to know either one of your thoughts on that before we move to the next question.
Jean, you've interviewed more often than I have. What do you think?
I would repeat the question. And it number one serves as mirroring. They think that you're listening, and it gives me some time to have all those synapses fire. And when you repeat a question, or you ask someone to repeat a question, you said, okay, this, would you mind repeating that? Or this is what I heard. I wouldn't say, would you repeat it? I would say, this is the question I heard. I would change the flavor just a little bit, so that the interviewer would be forced to change or repeat it and to say, no, this is what I meant. And in that moment, I would have enough time, and I would also find out if the question as it stood was important, or if it was sort of a general question. So it would give me a lot of different information.
That's such great advice. I mean, bravo. We're snapping and clapping over here. and you're mirroring, you're connecting. What I heard you say is great language. Just repeating back facts is great. It's true. In that moment, you're just showing that you're listening. It doesn't matter. It's almost a more important thing than the answer you would have had. So I think that's a beautiful point, Jean. That's just bravo on that one.
Yeah, thank you both for that. I think it's so valuable. And so often we forget. It's just saying, oh, that's a great question. And, you know, sometimes I would tell job seekers, it's okay to pause. You know, if you ever listen back to yourself in the interview, oh, I had the privilege, by the way, of recently hearing a meditation that Jean Houston facilitated. She's one of the greatest thought leaders of this generation. And what would feel like an impossibly pregnant pause in between one word and the next, or one sentence or thought and the next that Jean would say, also Jean, you know, what she would say when she did this. But this woman, her cadence and the way that she delivered it, there's something to be said too of owning a pause, and there's a power in it. There's this really like, I am confident enough to know that I don't need to rush to get the next thing out that I'm going to say. And I think some of the greatest orators that we've ever seen, stutterers or otherwise, have been people who have embraced allowing that breath, allowing that 3 to 5 to even 10 seconds, play with it, watch yourself back on camera and notice that as much as it feels impossibly long, you can almost pause time and receive, and it doesn't hurt to pivot to do what Jean said. That's a great question.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is X, and then you're buying yourself extra time as they respond. But I think it can be really, really powerful. So I'm so glad that that was brought up.
Oh, yeah. And go ahead.
We have one more question here. Jojo Walsh is saying, "What do you do if you are an interviewer is?" Oh, interesting. If your interviewer is ignorant and doesn't allow you, like basically does not allow you to speak or talks over you, any thoughts on that? But also I've seen that happen as well. Thoughts from either one of you?
I think Jean answered it so well. It was funny. I'm gonna talk to Jojo's point. I'm gonna turn to Jean. One thing that I would say is, one last thing you can say is, because a lot of times people ask questions and they don't make any sense. Like the interviewer is not really thinking. I think it's okay. He's like, do you mind rephrasing that question? And I only caveat that because if you're interviewing with an ignorant person or a person who's rude, they're going to get offended by that request. If they're great, they're going to be like, absolutely, I'd be happy to. It is probably, the usual, most people go, mea culpa, let me fix it. But I think the benefit as the interviewee is then you go, oh, I don't want to really work with you anyway. Like you don't even want to change the way you approach things. Okay. Just I'll never forget that you're interviewing as well when you're interviewing for a job. All right, Jean, what is your response though to that great question that we just got posed with?
My response is I would find an answer that I wanted to give. If there's information that I want to give that seems somewhere in the ballpark, I would give that answer. And then at the end, I would say, does that answer your question? Was that your question?
Yeah, I think that's
everything.
That's brilliant. That is so good, Jean. I think that's exactly what you do with the ignorant person. You go, I don't know if it's going good or bad, but it's my, again, my theory to the bar exam. I'm not going to fail this thing because I didn't get the information yet. So meaning you just say exactly, if you get a pause, because you might not if someone's talking like that, when you get your pause, get all the key points you want in, because at least if you don't get the job, you can leave your head held high. I also still think to that great question that we just got asked by the person on Facebook, I think it's a great question because if that happens, again, I go back to, is that where you want to work? I think that's information you're getting. But it could just be a gatekeeper. It could be anything. What you do sometimes with someone like that is they're bored or they don't want to be there. Or this happens a lot when there's sort of a lot of companies do like the 8 rounds of interviews and you're interviewing with like Joe in accounting, but you're going to work in like IT and you're never going to work with Joe, yet they just threw him in the room with you. So one thing that you can do in that moment is find out what matters to Joe, right? Find out what means something to that individual. And even if you spend the time not talking about anything about you or the job and they just leave liking you, that's something.
And these are unprecedented times. Everyone is entitled to a bad day. I have no way of knowing what an interviewer, someone who's interviewing me, I have no idea what happened to them during that day. And so for me to make a snap decision of someone's character, whether I want to work with that person on a 20-minute conversation may not be accurate.
That's so true. It actually reminds me of one of the things that I used to say to my clients when I was a trial attorney, which is we go in, they say, well, what do you think are we going to win? I said, I have no idea. I know what kind of day the judge is having or the jury is having. I don't know what happened this morning. I hope so. I think so. But I don't know. There's things we can't control. Lastly, to Jean's point, don't internalize it. Not about you. One of the most important things you can do is don't internalize. Man's search of meaning, Viktor Frankl, you can only control yourself. Jean, most popular question that I get asked sometimes by my clients when prepping for interviews, which I think comes up really very rarely. And again, it's kind of that, why did, I think the two questions that can cause people not to get the job is, why did you leave? And two is, what's your weakness? Which I think is sometimes a throwaway question, but you don't want to mess it up. So Jean, what's your greatest weakness?
I think my greatest weakness is that I tend not to react in the moment. And if there's an emergency, I will think, I will pause, I will think it through before I react. I can react later when the problem is solved, but I can't react in that moment because I'm too busy trying to find a solution for everything. And sometimes that comes off as cold and uncaring. And I'm working on that to acknowledge the emotion in the room. But for me, I need to take a step back and actually deal with the problem. And so it's something that reads badly sometimes.
How would you rate that answer? Because I got to tell you, it's like that's the tale of two cities, that answer to me. So how would you rate your answer, though, before we move forward?
Maybe a 6.
Okay. I'd give first half 9 to 10. I'd give second half 3 to 4. So law of averages, you're not unwrong, but like, what did you say? You basically were like, you gave this beautiful, I was, yes, that answer. And then you're like, but then, you know, it just comes off like I'm uncaring. And I don't, it's like, why? Why would you say that about yourself? You know, that's not, I get it. I understand that that's, and by the way, I adore you now because that's probably you being authentic. I would think that's, I'm weird. I've interviewed many people. If someone said to me, I think that was hilarious, but not everyone has a good sense of humor. The first one, you know, what don't you say? The thing that snails the child. Oh, well, I work too hard. I'm this, that, you know, and that's why it's a BS question for the most part. But I loved your answer. I pause. I think, right? If I learned anything in 2020, the most important skill set you can have, one of them at least, is to be the calm in the storm. World is chaos. You're a law firm administrator, calm in the storm, right? Or, you know, we're helping run the firm, solve to X. Love that you create. So why I loved it and why I didn't love the second half, right, was here you are creating calm, and then you're like, but then people are going to be really upset by it, you know? stay the lane. You were so solid. Jennifer, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a beautiful answer, Jean. I'd actually never heard it answered quite that way before. And I think I would just pivot the second half and just talk about it. Instead of saying, it's kind of interesting. I remember I just did the thing I'm going to tell you not to do in that moment. So hit rewind and listen. I was in a program years ago with a woman by the name of Alison Armstrong. And she said, you never want to tell the audience how they're going to feel about something. So like I just said to you, I preface this by saying, oh, I'm going to tell you something kind of interesting. Stop. Don't pass go. You don't want to comment on how interesting or uninteresting you're going to be. You want to allow the audience to determine that. So I think what was missing there is that you were telling them how they're going to feel without allowing them to have their own response. So I'd say go down the direction you were going and say, and you know what I'm doing, instead of, you know, poo-pooing yourself, just saying what I'm doing as an opportunity to grow in this area is I'm learning to self-express when it's in the moment, to work on feeling how much self-expression works to have people feel safe so that way we can execute on the problem at hand.
Boom. And I do think that if you need to say that, Jean, because of, again, that authenticity, then you say, I hope my concern or my hope is that it doesn't then offend someone, right? You can address it if that's really your concern, right? I don't deal well with negative feedback, you know, historically of bosses. So I'm usually like, tell me anything, just do it in a way where respect, mutual respect, right? You can tell me anything, just do it in a term of respect. But that's really my way of saying, like, if you piss me off, it's going to be, you know, not great. All right. So let me ask you this. This is now we're getting a little bit of a maybe Brandon, Jennifer questions, but you know, Jennifer and Brandon together have interviewed, not together, but it combined thousands of people, getting into passion, getting into what excites you. So Jean, what do you love about your work? What do you love to do? What impact do you want to have?
Well, you'll see that I have a music major. I wanted to be the first female, famous female conductor. And what I love about being a legal administrator and working in a law firm is that's what I get to do. People get to play solos. They get to play rests. I need to know everybody's part. Everyone is a soloist. Everyone is expert at what they do, and I conduct. And sometimes to be a good leader, you have to turn your back on the audience. And so I just love when things work. And sometimes somebody plays a sour note and you learn how to fix it and you go into practice and you do that in the dress rehearsal and it doesn't happen the next time. So that's what I love about working in a law firm. Every day is different. There are always challenges. I look forward to that because every day is a performance day. And every day people come in with the idea that they are going to play the best symphony that they can. And it's my job to make sure I bring that out of them.
Rate that answer for us, friend. I mean, 9, 10? What do you think?
Maybe a 7 or 8.
Yeah. Jennifer, what do you think, friend?
12. I give it a solid 12, James. That was brilliant. It was so, yeah, I want to go buy your book. I want to buy your book on running law firms, on how law firms and sympathies. I'm like, yes, can I please go buy that book and hear you speak more on that?
Truth.
Yeah, that's so powerful, Gene. I mean, I really acknowledge you. And that's the thing is that let's tap into the things that it just flowed, Gene. It was so authentic and natural. And that's where integration, you're able to integrate your passion with what you're doing. And then it comes from your heart. And it's not, that's where sometimes I get stuck is I get in my head. And like Brandon said at the beginning of the show, he can see me thinking. And then when you can see somebody thinking, you're losing the humanness of the person. And that's what I loved was just the humanity in your answer was just unprecedented, Gene. And so kudos to you, my friend. And, you know, and now I'm going to hit you with a hard one. So brace yourself. No, just kidding. Okay. It's not like somebody who's ever going to actually say this to you, by the way, in an interview. But you know you feel that way. You're like the person in the Matrix being like, not that one. No, not that one. All right. So the question is, tell me about a time that you dealt with a challenging person or situation and how you solved that problem.
Wow. That is a fabulous question. I work in the legal industry. And in the legal industry, there will be times when everyone is going to be a little unreasonable because they are working under great pressures, great stresses. The stakes are very high and clients are not necessarily paying for us to represent them. They're paying for a result and they're paying for a favorable result. And although the partners of the firm may sign my paycheck, the client's the one who's footing the bill. And I understand that. And so it's a very harsh environment at some times. Now, here's a story. And someone came in and was very upset that there were only rye bagels left in the bagel tray in the kitchen. And she said, well, there are no bagels in the kitchen. Like, I was just in there. There are about 6. Do you want me to bring you one? Well, there's only rye and there's wheat and I'm allergic to rye. And okay, I can go down and get, what would you like? I'll go down. Well, I don't want you to go do it. All right, I'll have someone from service center do it. I don't want anyone from the service center to do it. Like, okay, what can I get you that's going to make you feel better? Well, I just got back from court and the judge yelled at me. And I said, I'm sorry the judge yelled at you. Would a bagel make you feel better? And she said, well, yeah. What kind of bagel would make you feel better? Well, I'd like a whole wheat with this and then the other. I said, okay, you know what? We'll go get you one. And by the time I had gone downstairs, got her the bagel and brought it to her, she was so apologetic. She said that she had a good cry. She felt better. She talked to the partner because she had to tell the partner that her argument didn't go as well as we had hoped. And she said he was very understanding. I said, of course he was. We're dealing with people. You can't determine how someone's going to react to your brilliant argument. We know it was brilliant and you were really well prepared. And so I gave her bagel and she said, thank you. And that was the end of that drama.
Rate that answer for us, Jing.
Maybe a 6, maybe a 7.
Okay. Jen?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. The only thing I think that, the only thing that for me knocked it down a point or two at the end is to get rid of the drama part. There was the judgment about it at the end. Everything, the story, it was funny, Gene, as you started off, I would even recommending, so I would give it probably like a 6 or 7. I think at the beginning, there was a little bit too much backstory about the history of law firms. What I loved was the story itself, and maybe even telling the story from a more compassionate standpoint. One of the things I've noticed is because, Jane, you and I were, all of us, were paid to be discerning and judgmental. Like, that's our job. We need to be able to judge, evaluate, and execute to be good at what we do. And sometimes when we're retelling a story, if we're telling it through a lens of judging the situation still in the moment, rather than disassociating or attaching ourselves from it, that the story could go, oh my gosh, no, I had this wonderful opportunity for growth. As you can imagine, sometimes law firms get stressful. An attorney came back from court. She was beside herself with frustration and anger and worry, went into the kitchen. There were no bagels in the flavor she was willing to eat. And I got in her world. At first, I was a little bit put off, and I was like, why is she upset? And then I realized it wasn't about the bagel. It was about her being acknowledged and understood. So as I proceeded to ask her about what would make her feel safe and solid and comforted in that moment, we got to the bottom of it. She was willing to take a bagel from downstairs. And by the time I came back upstairs, it was taking that 5 minutes out of my day to go get the bagel, but more importantly, to listen and to be in her world for what she needed and to repeat back to her. That was probably one of the most valuable things that I've learned running a law firm, is that sometimes more than the bagel, people need to learn that you're listening for them.
Boom.
Yeah.
And that's, and that's what I do. For better part of 2 decades, I make sure people in every part of law firms feel seen, heard, and valued so they can get back to the work that they do, which is advocating for their clients. And I do that for them. I advocate for them. I fight for them. I do everything from getting bagels to running our IT. Otherwise, look, I'm a third generation lawyer, okay? You know, lawyers, God bless, we're cynical. We're trained to be cynical. It's not our fault. It's the way our brain, we literally go to school to become cynical. And I'm telling you right now, I put myself, especially being from the East Coast, if you're interviewing for a part of it, like, why am I listening to a story about a bagel? What does this have to do, if anything? What am I? I'm literally, you know, if it's a partner firm, he's getting paid $1,000 an hour. And he's going to be, why am I listening to a story about a bagel? And I'm not saying that to be rude at all. I'm not trying to be. I'm trying to think of that. But if you short end the she called it the drama, the bagel. I get it. I've been yelled at in court. I came back to my partner too, and he had to take me to lunch because I had to explain to him how I was going to get disbarred. I get that story more than you know. I'm the right audience for it. I'm like, yeah, I might even know that judge, even though I didn't practice in LA. I know that judge, just don't know who they are. But it's that end part that Jennifer added in. I listened, I connected. And I know that's a micro, and you acknowledge it's a micro story. But let me tell you, what I would do though, if that's the story you're going to go with, I'd give a macro example too. Now, obviously it's not life or death isn't bagels, but let me tell you when, you know, whatever it is, if you had done it in COVID, we had to go virtual, but you know, that's a lot of people have those stories now. But if it's not that, you sell the story about, when half the firm left for some weird reason, whatever that is. I don't know what it is, right, for you, but that would be that. Okay. Then last question, perhaps. What do you want to do next? How do you see, this is a famous one. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You know, I've been asked that question before, and my answer has always been somewhat different than what has happened, than what has actually happened. My answer is usually, I want to be a better version of myself. And I want whatever job or whatever position I'm working in, I want to leave that or create something better. And I want to bring out the best in people while I'm there. And so that's what I see for myself. Do I really know all the details of what that's going to look like? No, but I do know that I'm going to be an advocate for everyone that works with me on my team. I'm going to be supportive, and I am going to grow in my roles, and so is everybody who works with me.
Jean, loyalty is very important in this firm and staying, and we pride ourselves on longevity. You know, one thing as we talked about was there's been some movement recently. What do you feel would be different about coming here or your next step?
From what I can tell, from oh my God, you got me. All right. From what I can tell, all indications is that I would love to stay with your firm for as long as possible. And that was always my intent with other firms. But here's the thing. I am more concerned with doing a good job and making sure that my firms are taken care of rather than keeping a job. If there is a better option for the firm, then I will find a way to transition myself out of the firm.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So let me jump in here. Because I sense this in you, and we've talked about this offline, we've talked about this online. You're mission oriented, you're cause based, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can talk to that. As long as this firm is continuing to expand and grow, I want to be part of that expansion and growth. I want to be part of your mission. By the way, one of the great things to do in an interview is if any firm or company puts their values online, mm-hmm. they put a lot of effort into it. They hire people like me to figure them out, and they pay people to figure these things out. If you can repeat back their values or mantras to them, they love that stuff. But I think that what you're really saying is when mission is accomplished. But I wouldn't say what you just said, because it sparks the fear in them. You say, I'm here as long as you want to do and move forward, I want to help you move forward, right? That's what you're saying and what you want to do. Is that right?
Yeah.
So guys, great feedback. So two quick things. We have one more really poignant question to Jean's earlier story that I want to address. And then just touching on Jean, what you just said, which again, I think it's, these are all opportunities for growth, guys. It's not about getting it perfect. It's just about being authentic. To tie it back to what Brandon said earlier, you could say blah, 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 and say it authentically with heart and soul. And that's going to get you hired, even if it's just blah, blah, blah. It's less about the words. I was just reading this somewhere that it's about 15%, if not less, of what actually comes out of your mouth. And the rest is all the heart. It's all the intention. If you're in your head, drop into your heart. I highly recommend heart math. You can do something as simple as just imagining allowing a conscious, loving breath going into your heart and allowing breathing that air out of your heart. And doing something like that to ground or center yourself will allow you to connect to the most authentic version of yourself and take you out of your head and into your heart. And I know we're almost out of time, but I do want to address, I believe it was Michelle's question that she had. She said, Jean, in the case of your story, she said, what story do you use that's a virtual story? I didn't even think of this. This is a really great point for anybody out there. We don't have time to get into it today, but I think the point is when we're talking about a challenging person or situation, what could be valuable, and maybe we can tie this into next week's episode, Brandon, to further delve into Michelle's question, is how do you how do you transform your interview answers to be COVID specific? Because we all have this plethora of stories of back in the good old days, right? Some people might say when we were in offices. And I think Michelle's point, what people are probably going to be most interested in during these times, and at least for the foreseeable future, is how do you manage? How do you lead remotely? What are the challenges you've dealt with? And how have you handled those from a remote standpoint? Maybe tie an example in of a time where you were on a Zoom call and somebody wasn't feeling heard and you pivoted and you were able to really listen deeply for what they needed. So that would be my suggestion to Michelle's question she asked.
I think that's a great question. Thanks, Michelle, for asking it. And I do think the more prevalent and relevant you make it in terms, back to one of my one of my favorite things to say is don't tell people just what you've done, tell them what you're going to do. And the future we're living in is more relevant to online and virtual. The other thing that I'd like to put in another episode, I think I get a sense, Jean, you do this, but what's a question you usually ask of the interviewer in the questions? Because I think it's so important that you ask questions. What kind of questions you ask? And then I want to save I'll do that for a minute, and then there's something I want to do for Jean.
We have 1 minute left. We've got to go live and 1 minute.
Okay.
What qualities made the last person who had this role successful? What qualities did the person who's in this role before made them you wish you could have changed? And where do you see your firm in 5 years? Where do you see your company in 5 years? What is your strategic goal? What do you want? What are your priorities for the first 90 days?
Perfect. Those are great questions. Thank you for saying those. I just want to say that anyone would be lucky to have you because you are passionate, you are strategic, you are authentic, and I can sense
coachable, which is great.
Well, what I love is a strategic visionary who gets stuff done. And I think that is you. And I can't think of anything more important in the best administrators I know of running firms. So I just, you have such leadership and I can't tell you how high I hold that in regard. So anyone would be lucky to have you. And if I can help or Jen can help, we will.
Oh, you're
yeah,
so
absolutely. Thank you so much, Gene. And thank you to everybody online. It's so great when we get your feedback because it helps us to understand what are the things that those of us up here, we might be missing. And so I invite everybody as a takeaway from today's show, don't be afraid to go out there, be authentic, and go mock interview with other people. You can see that we all learned something from this experience. Find a friend. Recruiters are great for being sounding boards. You can hire a career coach, Allison Guido, Brandon. There's so many people that Brandon does more executive-related stuff. There are so many people out there, though, who are willing to help and support you. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in to everybody to this show today. Thank you to everybody on Facebook and iTunes. And we're so excited to be able to have you now find us on iHeartRadio and Amazon Music. Please feel free to rate us in all these places. Share the episode. That's how we can continue to grow, bring you more of the content that you want. So thank you to everybody and wishing you a great rest of your week.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill and Brandon Maslin only on LA Talk Radio.